Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome. Or as they used to say in my childhood on the PBS kids show Zoom, hubby, frubbins, it's the Newsbusters podcast. It's that time for a little week in review. And the hot story right now is how Team Biden is shutting down the cameras that expose their maladministration of the government. You ever notice how Democrats always think that they're the party of government, so they're always the ones that are competent at it? And because the Republicans, quote unquote, hate the government, they're always incompetent at governing? Then there's the border. On Thursday's special report on Fox News Channel, national correspondent Bill Malugin showed the over 9,000-person crowd of illegal aliens under an international bridge in Texas.
Stunning footage out of Del Rio, Texas on Thursday, as our Fox flight team drone shows thousands of migrants crammed under the international bridge, waiting to be processed after crossing illegally into the United States.
That's what he had to say on Special Report. I saw footage on Twitter that these illegal immigrants would like go back across the river to get like food and supplies and then come back into America. The video is interesting. It's newsy. Well, but just a couple of hours later, Malugin comes on Tucker Carlson Tonight and he reports the FAA has issued a temporary flight restriction or TFR over the entire area.
We just learned that the FAA has put out a temporary flight restriction, a TFR, in the area immediately around the port of entry where that bridge is. What does that mean? It means our drone can no longer fly and show those images. It's a two-week TFR, and according to the FAA, it's for special security reasons. We've reached out to the FAA to get a little clarification on what the heck that means. The timing on this, the location, a little bit curious.
So, nope, sorry, no drone cameras. Jorge Bonilla of our MRC Latino tweeted that an Univision report said the Border Patrol is fearful of getting overrun in a, quote, human stampede at any time, unquote, there in Del Rio, Texas. A human stampede? That's insulting. You're suggesting that the immigrants from Central America are like buffalo. But it is one of those things where you'd say, I think we can all imagine if we flipped the script on this, how this would be handled. Many people on Twitter compared this to what might happen under Trump, who was always being pummeled by the Brian Stelters and the Jim Acostas for being so hostile to the press. Despite the fact that, you know, Trump had this habit of bad-mouthing the press and then doing a pile of interviews. He gave the press great access. That's not what's happening now. How many interviews is Joe Biden granting? He doesn't like to grant interviews because then people bring back the clips where he says funny stuff about things he's not going to do in Afghanistan, and then he does it. On Twitter, Michael Graham, no relation to me or my boy Ben, tweeted, "Oh, this is totally normal behavior, and if Trump forced CNN drones to stop covering an unflattering story, the press would support it too." JohnnyDollar01 on Twitter, "It wasn't in the Stelter newsletter, this story." Quote, Stelter covers a talk TV network in the UK, plugs his morning show on Apple, but he didn't even mention Fox News blocked from photographing the border crisis. Brian's against government censorship, unless it's against Fox. Let's all remind you that when Jim Acosta had his White House pass suspended under Trump, Fox News supported Jim Acosta. They didn't have to, but they did. The Fox News Channel wants to say, well, we're for the press getting full access. CNN, on the other hand, takes the stance that Fox News is a poison. It's not a competing news outlet. It's a poison. It kills people. And therefore, when Biden shuts down cameras, they basically say, good. They didn't say anything on the air or in the Stelter newsletter, but you have to assume that their personal reaction is, yeah, good for you guys. But the border problem doesn't go away, even if you don't want to talk about it. We had a new study here from Rich Noyes. According to the latest statistics from U.S. Customs and Border Security, there were almost 209,000 encounters along the southern border, only a slight decrease from a revised figure of 213,500 in July. And that was a 21-year record. And the networks will call this a migrant surge when they notice it, because it can't be ignored. But they try really hard. What we found was broadcast evening news coverage in the month of August was virtually nil. 6 minutes, 28 seconds on the big three during the entire month, including weekends. And in August, there wasn't college football on the weekends. Now here in the fall, evening news gets very spotty with sports. But that's not true in the month of August. So it averages to what? 2 minutes a network, 2 minutes and, 11 seconds or 13 seconds, whatever. 2 minutes and change. But in reality, NBC had 4 minutes and 12 seconds. CBS Evening News had 2 minutes and 16 seconds. And then the pride and joy of journalism, ABC News, World News Tonight, where David Muir reports he's got hair large enough to put a small rat in it. We have made this joke. We have Ratatouille. They pulls his hair and tells him which stories to report. David Muir's show had nothing. You stole fizzy lifting drinks, so you get nothing.
You lose. Good day, sir.
I mean, ABC, call this world news, but they can't cover the border. It's embarrassing. Now, this whole thing is barely unchanged from July, when these same three evening quote-unquote newscasts gave us 4 minutes and 20 seconds on the border crisis when it had that 21-year record. Here in August, only NBC Nightly News touched it when the Supreme Court ruled against Biden, trying to reverse Trump's Remain in Mexico policy for amnesty applications. Pete Williams on NBC did record this as a loss for Biden at the Supreme Court. And actually, the Biden administration's lost quite a bit in the federal courts. But they don't report that very much because they don't want to say Biden has a bad record on anything. You know, any federal judge who overturned something of Trump's, it was like the triumph of democracy, even though it was, I guess, for them, a triumph for the judiciary. Coming up this weekend is something called the Justice for J6 rally. If you haven't heard about it, it means you're not watching CNN or MSNBC. They are loving this story. When they can't report on the latest Bob Woodward gossip, they're all over this thing. They're hyping the idea of potential violence. They're putting a fencing back up around the Capitol. But the weird thing about this is the MAGA crowd is running around like the, what's his name on Twitter? Cat Turd! And they're all running around saying, don't go. It's a trap. And if you're going to go, then they were trying to tell them not to wear your Trump hats. This whole rally seems weird to me. But the cable networks are absolutely obsessing over it. And they're talking about the potential violence. And obviously, anything that's a rally or a protest about January 6th, well, that was a violent event. So you can anticipate that maybe there would be violence. It reminds me a little bit when they had these gun rallies, Second Amendment rallies in Richmond, and the networks kept suggesting there was going to be violence, and then there wasn't any. So what happens if they've been hyping for 48 or 72 hours this potentially violent rally, and then it's not? Or just the whole idea that they're hyping this rally as newsworthy, and then they have a turnout of like 206. Then what happens? There are more bones in the human body than people who showed up on Saturday. I mean, you know, that would be surprising if it was that tiny. But you know the rules about network television coverage of protests. 100 liberals is more important than 1 million conservatives. I mean, it's, you can get 50 people at the White House if they're liberals, and that's a story if the president's Republican. You know, and we make this point about the March for Life, which in some years attracts a very large crowd that would be measured in six figures, and they barely touch it. I loved this. Brian Stelter's newsletter, of course, had a huge thing here in the Friday newsletter all about the Justice for J6 rally, and he was touting a new poll from some liberal religion, quote-unquote religion institute, that basically, you know, it was a poll that said everything Brian Stelter wanted about Republicans and disorder and Trump and democracy. And so he loved it. But he did write this sentence: whatever transpires on Saturday will likely be small scale. Nothing like the March for Life or the Women's March or other magnets for social action. Yes, Brian, the March for Life is in fact routinely a large-scale protest. Too bad the coverage never seems to match. I mean, the only recent exception was President Trump actually addressing the march from the White House. Got some attention. But routinely over the years, we would have tens of thousands, if not 100,000 plus, pro-life people assemble on the Mall. And they would just be like, nothing important happened. You know, we would find this, four illegal aliens stage a rally for Dreamers. That's a story. It is kind of an ongoing amazement to me. So we shall see. You know, liberals might have said, and Brian Stelter definitely said, that it was sort of preposterous for Larry Elder or the Republicans in California to try to make the case that maybe Larry Elder was going to lose this recall by a margin small enough that you could worry about mail-in voter fraud. That didn't turn out. Well, this might not turn out very well either. We'll have to see whether the actual event in any way matches the hype. Another thing that was quite noticeable this week is Joy Reid is getting crazier and crazier. And the question we're asking ourselves here in the hallways at the Media Research Center is, does she sincerely believe this stuff? Is she really going cuckoo nutty? Or is this just an act? You know, if you look at the way that the liberals treat Tucker Carlson, they're like, well, he used to be a reasonable person. Now he's crazy. And he's doing it for the MAGA audience. There's a new story out in the New Republic sort of spelling out this whole notion. But Joy Reid, I mean, Curtis Hauck is just overly busy chronicling her nuttiness. This one this week, she's doing Lord of the Rings metaphors now.
Okay, we get it. COVID is the precious and you love it. You love COVID so much, you want it to spread in the schools, at the office, in the Walmart, on the cruise ships, and at the club. That gray spongy ball with the red spikes, you want it pumping through your veins. Why do you love it so daggone much? Well, we have absolutely no bloody idea. But here's the thing, you weirdos. Everyone else hates COVID.
Yeah. So this is the notion now. Republicans love COVID. If you disagree with the notion that we have to go into some sort of massive lockdown like Australia, you know, if you oppose a mask mandate in schools, if you don't like a vaccine mandate being imposed on private businesses, you love the COVID. COVID is the precious. She even took this to California.
Where people wanted to recall Newsom is where there's the most COVID. So they're like, give us more, inject it in us. Is there a way that we can drink it in a Kool-Aid cup? Because we want it, and we want it bad, and we want this man to get out of our way. We want our COVID.
Yeah, this is somebody who needs some sort of breathalyzer exam, if not a straitjacket. She's not the only Joy doing this stuff. Joy Behar last week was claiming that Ron DeSantis should be quote-unquote criminally liable for his negligent homicide of school kids.
He's putting his political ambitions ahead of the safety of children. It's as simple as that, really.
It is. Yeah.
And the way I see it, he should be criminally liable for that.
Absolutely.
You are actually committing negligent homicide when people die on your watch.
It doesn't matter whether a child actually dies of COVID in Florida. Certainly don't have to prove that somehow Governor DeSantis is responsible. We all wonder, why are these women named Joy? What were their mothers thinking? Why didn't they change their name? Maybe they should both be, it should be Harpy Reed and Harpy Behar. Something like that. Something that describes Screechy. Like they have the name Screechy. Because they're kind of out of control. And Joy is like the antonym of what they're giving us on television. I think one of the things that bothers me about this is that liberal pundits can just say the craziest junk. And the fact checkers, the so-called independent fact checkers, really have nothing to say. PolitiFact has this offshoot called Pundit Fact, and it's kind of a sad little operation. They don't really do a lot of fact checks of the pundits, because as we know, journalistic fact checkers don't really like doing things about journalists. Except that they presume that people on Fox News can't be described as journalists. So if you go to the sort of the Pundit Fact page, what you're going to find is Tucker, Kayleigh McEnany, Hannity, because none of them are really journalists, you know. They're not on an actual channel you should call a news channel. You know, Joy Reid is not going to get a pants on fire at PolitiFact. It only reinforces something we try to tell you all the time, and that is the so-called independent fact checkers are not independent at all, and they demonstrate it on a routine basis. I did something on this. CNN and the Washington Post both rushed to Biden's defense on Tuesday. They were upset that the Republicans seized on Team Biden for cutting off the president's White House video feed. In mid-question, Biden started asking a question at an event in Idaho, talking about wildfires. Well, you know, for Biden critics, this easily recalled the recent Politico story. If you missed it, you should check it out. It said that the Biden staffers are, quote-unquote, filled with anxiety about Biden going out and speaking in public. And, quote, some White House staffers will either mute him or turn off his remarks at their desks. It's frightening when Biden goes off the cuff. So the whole idea that Team Biden would go, nope, Biden's starting to talk off the cuff, cut the camera. When you mock that, guess what happens? The quote-unquote fact checkers jump in. Glenn Kessler threw four Pinocchios, his pants on fire rating, for Senator James Risch, Republican of Idaho, asking Secretary of State Antony Stinkin' Blinken, that's what the New York Post called him this week, Stinkin' Blinken. Risch asked, it's been widely reported that somebody has the ability to push the button and cut off his sound and stop him from speaking. Who is that person? This was a question, and Glenn Kessler gave the question for Pinocchios. How does that work? The guy's asking a question. He's not really stating a fact except that somebody cut off Biden's feed. They didn't stop him from speaking. I'm sure he continued speaking, but they stopped the public from hearing any of it. Kessler, unlike a fact checker, was aggressively and defensively interpreting this as, quote, who's that person behind the scenes secretly controlling President Biden? Nobody's controlling Biden. They're just cutting off his mic. That's the issue. They just can't handle the truth. And that's Biden's a gaffe machine. I mean, Kessler says so much, you know, they have this conclusion that describes their ruling. PolitiFact does this too. So when I'm fact-checking the fact-checkers, you almost want to go scroll right down to the bottom because that's where you get their real opinion on things or their justification for their ruling, whether it's pants on fire, whether it's four Pinocchios. You know, Glenn Kessler, when he's evaluating Democrats, often awards no Pinocchios. They emailed me back, so they don't get Pinocchios. Okay. Kessler's outburst at the end of his fact check was, once again, the RNC has made a mountain out of a molehill. Yes, the RNC tweeted out this video of it being cut off in the middle over a graphic that says, thank you for joining. Thank you for being cut off. Go home now. The right-wing media, said Kessler, in an eagerness to keep alive a narrative of an elderly president controlled by his staff, quickly followed suit. It's especially dismaying that a senior senator like Risch would fall prey to such nonsense and waste valuable time on it during an important national security hearing. Does this sound to you like fact-checking? This is nonsense. You're wasting the time of Congress asking if the president's senile. He gets very upset. He's aggressively interpreting the narrative. Then he continued, Biden may be old. He's also a self-described gaffe machine. But let's not forget, Democrats had dismissed Reagan as an amicable dunce manipulated by his staff. And then Reagan's diary entries revealed a president much more hands-on and engaged than was believed during his presidency. So readers should be wary of partisan efforts to craft a narrative out of misleading clips. The Washington Post's motto could be partisan efforts to craft a narrative. It works better than democracy dies in darkness. They should really wear t-shirts that say partisan efforts to craft a narrative. The Washington Post. And misleading clips? That's a clip. It's not a misleading clip. Biden was in mid-sentence and they cut it off saying, thanks for joining. There's nothing misleading about that. They just don't like that your spin coming out of it. And that's what this is all about. They're not acting like fact checkers. They're spin checkers. They're going to say you're missing context. What they really mean is we don't like your context. Your context is too critical. You're not allowed to criticize this president. We could call the last president some sort of mad communist tyrant, Nazi tyrant. Kill more people than Hitler, Stalin, and Mao combined. That's fair commentary. But somehow they get very upset at this whole notion that Biden's losing his marbles. You can't say that. I don't think I'm saying Biden's losing his marbles. I do believe, yes, Biden is a gaffe machine. CNN's Daniel Dale did a series of tweets complaining. And he said, it wasn't like he started telling some crazy story. And then in parentheses, anyway, this is all ridiculous. It's ridiculous for the Republicans to suggest Biden isn't uber competent, uber intelligent, totally on top of things, soaking up information like a powerful sponge in Idaho. Then the reality is, the fact checkers, here's the amazing part, the fact checkers actually skipped Biden saying crazy stuff. Daniel Dale, he didn't tell some crazy story. Yes, in fact, he did at this event.
I grew up in a little town called Claymont, Delaware. And I went to school. I used to tell Frank Church this. My first job offer where I wanted, my wife, deceased wife and I wanted to move to Idaho because we think, not a joke, it's such a beautiful, beautiful state. And I interviewed for a job with Boise Cascade. And in the meantime, there was a war going on. Anyway.
The New York Post. The Post was unable to locate any prior record of Biden mentioning the company, including in news clippings archived by the Nexus and Factiva databases. Biden's 2007 memoir, Promises to Keep, does not mention the company or a desire to move to Idaho. Glenn Kessler had nothing. Daniel Dale had nothing. factcheck.org, which is generally a more sober outlet, had a big fact check too on Biden's mic being cut off. But factcheck.org and the rest didn't fact check Biden. Biden's making up crazy stories about how he had a job offer in Idaho before he was in the U.S. Senate. And nobody checked. That's for the New York Post to notice. Something that's not a real news outlet. You have to understand that PolitiFact and the Washington Post and Snopes and all of these people are just part of the same quote-unquote mainstream media blob. And they are here to defend Biden. You know, remember, the Washington Post fact checkers put out an entire book on Trump's lies. And they had a regular count of Biden's false or of Trump's false or misleading statements. They just said at the beginning of the Biden years, oh no, we're not keeping a count of Biden's false or misleading statements. Why? Because they're Democrats. That's why. Anybody who thinks the Washington Post, the network of newspaper of Glenn Kessler and Bob Woodward, is out here to objectively cover our democracy has really never picked up a paper copy of the Washington Post or looked at their website. You know how you can tell the Washington Post is a Democrat rag? You go over and you find the links to most read articles. What you're generally going to find is the most read articles are the most hyperbolic, Joy Reid-sounding news stories and commentaries, because that's who the readers of the Washington Post are, the Democrats, the very partisan Democrats. And they're the people that try to present us that they're the guardians of keeping our democracy from dark days. While to many of us, these are dark days. Dark days of Biden incompetence. Dark days of Biden screwing up Afghanistan. Biden screwing up the border. Biden screwing up COVID. Oh, those points of view need to be fact-checked. All right. We've heard enough of that. So we're going to be here bringing you our facts, those uncomfortable facts, those inconvenient facts, the reporting on how the news media is completely partisan. You come to us for that at Newsbusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.